The days ahead may well be days of less money, fewer options, higher prices, and more uncertainty. For many, the comforts we've known may fade away into a tougher reality. No job, no insurance, perhaps a foreclosed home. How do we handle deprivation when all we've known is abundance? Today, we begin a series to prepare us for such a time as this. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer begins a series on famines, deserts, and other hard places. In this, the first of seven messages, we turn to the prophet Jeremiah as we find ourselves having to say we have no map for this territory.
Well, today I begin a series of messages entitled Famines, Deserts, and Other Hard Places. So let me begin by asking, what if God wanted to take us where we have never been before? A whole new level of devastation and suffering that most of us have never experienced. Some of you are already there individually, but I mean, what if this was true of all of us? What then? What if the promises of God are still true, and we believe that they are? Thankfully, indeed they are. But let us suppose that we have to apply those promises in ways that we've never had to apply them before. What if we as a nation end up with the same kind of poverty that we see on television in other parts of the world and join the world in its poverty and devastation and even natural disasters? What then? What if God in heaven simply says, enough already? I've been judging you, I've been sending you remedial judgments, and those remedial judgments were intended to warn you to repent, and you didn't, so enough already. You're going to now experience the kind of judgments that were found even in the Old Testament. What then? Michael Craven, who is the president of the Center for Christ and Culture, wrote, I do not think it is too strong or sensational to say that we are witnessing the collapse of Western civilization. Across the Western world, the fruits of apostasy and secularism are manifesting themselves in overwhelmingly destructive ways. In my lifetime, I've seen the rapid demise of the family. For the first time in American history, non-married households now outnumbered married households, 52% versus 48. Only one-fifth of American households represent traditional families. These statistics are from the New York Times. Out-of-wedlock birth rates in the U.S. have reached 40% following a similar trend throughout Western Europe countries, some of which are as high as 66%. And then he says, while out-of-wedlock births continue to rise, more and more people are simply not having children at all, leading to a depopulation of the West on an unprecedented scale. Add to this the radical redefinition of marriage and family to include same-sex couples, and the future of the natural family, an institution essential to healthy society, only promises to worsen. Then very quickly, our academic institutions have shifted from teaching virtues and the pursuit of truth to intolerant platforms for secularized political values and godless indoctrination. Revenue from the consumption of pornography, catch this, exceeds that generated by all professional sports combined. And then the media, of course, contributes to this. Our political leaders have abandoned statesmanship and true public service for personal power gains and government-driven social and economic engineering. Recently, Europeans and some Americans have descended into barbarism and anarchy as the state proves incapable of serving as savior and provider. In the wake of supplanting God with the state, personal responsibility has been replaced by selfishness, dependency, and entitlement. Finally, the church, which once was the moral authority in the West, has rendered herself irrelevant marginalized in the public square. As for the church, and now this is most important, we alone bear the responsibility for our own demise. The culture did not render us irrelevant, we did. We have been entrusted with the truth, the message of hope, and we have neglected this responsibility in exchange for security and comfort. We've tried unsuccessfully to build our lives in a way that seeks to comfortably balance the demands of following Christ with our own quest for personal peace and affluence. But it doesn't work. You either love Christ or you love your own life. And the article goes on. In addition to what he mentions there, and I didn't read it all, I'd like to add today, to show our weakness, our submission to Islam. There are Catholic hospitals that are taking down crucifixes, and there are Protestant churches that are taking down their crosses so as not to offend our Muslim friends. Just in Canada, where we came from last week, we were told about a classroom where there was a substitute teacher who brought her prayer mat and then in the middle of the class asked the class to be quiet as she went through her prayers. Could you even imagine what would happen if a Christian were to do that? Perhaps I've told you that in some schools, the Muslim students, because of their courage and commitment, they put their prayer mats in the halls and students have to step around them. Christian students have to be off somewhere where nobody sees them, having their Bible studies or their witness. I have a friend who works in national security. He says that there are members of the Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood, that have infiltrated our security forces. And he says that we are generally regarded as weak, quick to compromise, and easily led. And I think that that assessment is right. So my question to you today is, what happens when the sock comes unraveled? What happens when the difficulties really come and when the fruits of secularism begin to have their full impact? What then? Now, I can imagine somebody saying, Pastor Lutzer, you shouldn't preach about this because people are going to panic and fear. Well, just to be clear, my purpose is actually the direct opposite. I do not want us to fear. I do not want us to panic. When other people do, we shouldn't. I can hardly wait because one of the messages I'm going to preach comes from Jeremiah, where Jeremiah says, blessed is the man who's planted his tree near a stream, because he will not fear when drought comes. That's the whole point of these messages. It's to be realistic about what might happen, but it's also to engender hope and fear and commitment to God and to one another, as we shall see. That's the purpose. In fact, in the final message on the series, we all are going to pray a prayer. It's going to be a prayer that all of you will be invited to pray to lift any spirit of fear or panic from us, regardless of what the future holds, because our roots will be that strong. You see, it's my intention. I don't think that we can change society, by the way, and I'll tell you why, at least not a great deal. I think we're too far down the river. But it's my intention that when this series is over, we will have changed because whom we trust will have changed. That's really the goal. Wayne Gretzky, that great hockey player in Canada, said that the reason that he was so good on the ice, he said he never would go where the puck was. He said, I always went where I knew the puck would be. And that's what we want to do in these messages. Not just talk about what is, but what could be. I love the sayings of Woody Allen. He really was gifted in saying wonderful things. And one of them is this. He says, you know, history has to repeat itself because nobody was listening the first time around. And history does repeat itself. And it's repeating itself right now, and nobody is listening, no matter how many times around. it goes. Come with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet who lived during a time of Israel's history that was much like our own. Jeremiah wrote and taught and preached during a time of decline. There had been a revival under a man by the name of Josiah, but the revival didn't last because the repentance wasn't deep enough. The nation's tears were not hot enough. And so in the book, God is pronouncing judgment on Jerusalem and Judah and predicting what we call the Babylonian captivity. So throughout all the book, you find that the nation is coming down from the north. That's the Babylonians. And they're going to destroy Jerusalem and destroy all the cities. And that's the message Jeremiah has. You'll notice in verse 5 of chapter 1, and by the way, it's on page 627. If you just happen to forget your own Bible at home, 627 on the Bible that is there in the seat ahead of you. Verse 4, 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And of course, Jeremiah says, who am I? I don't have the strength, etc. God says, I'm going to put words in your mouth. Verse 8, do not be afraid of them because I am with you to deliver. And then you'll notice, continuing in chapter 1, God says that these people, the Babylonians, are going to come against the gates of Jerusalem. And then verse 16, and I will declare my judgments against them, that is the people of Judah and Jerusalem, for their evil in forsaking me. They've made offerings to other gods, worshiped the works of their own hands, but you dress yourself for work, and this applies to us now. Arise, say to them everything I commanded you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, because I am with you, declares the Lord. I know that this applies specifically to Jeremiah, but it also applies to us.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I do believe that it applies to us. I'm so glad that you have joined us for this series of messages titled Famines, Deserts, and Other Hard Places. No matter how you look at it, it seems to me that we are headed into some very difficult waters here in the United States. Not just economically, because we don't know what the year will bring forth, but also we think of it spiritually and in other ways, morally. And so I want to encourage you. I also want you to be a strong Christian so that you and I, together with God's help and His people, can weather the storms. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope that you join us again right here next time on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer introducing We Have No Map for This Territory, the first of 7 messages on famines, deserts, and other hard places. Believers have to endure the same conditions as those who made the mess we're in, just as in ancient Israel. Tomorrow, our lessons continue. Running to Win's purpose is to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our current series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.